Right Samadhi and Insight in Sayadaw U Kandima. Sayadaw U Sandima, S Teaching. A Scales Like Samadhi. Following this talk, there was a short talk on the same subject. Yogis had to sit for 3 hours sitting. This practice is to free from lobha, dosa and moha at the same time. He called this in Burmese as leveling out samadhi like a scales. He also said he got this system from Thay In Gu Sayadaw's Dharma verses. It may be Thay In Gu Sayadaw developed his samadhi in this way. U Kandima's vipassana practice is different from Thay In Gu Sayadaw's way. Thay In Sayadaw's way of vipassana is based on form, rupa, nama kamathana, i.e., not on physical sensation but on mental feeling. U Kandima's way is developed samadhi with anapanasati and contemplation on mind, nama kamathana or sittanupassana. U Kandima called it as Mahapalinka meditation, which refers to like the bodhisattva's enlightenment in one sitting, so it also can be called as bodhisattva kamathana. In this talk on scales like samadhi, U Kandima called this method the vipassana yankee method. Leveling out samadhi and panna together, that it's also called the yuganada method, yuganada, yoked together. The commentary explained yuganada as coming from jhana samadhi and contemplating the jhanic factors with insight. Come out from each jhanic level and contemplate in this way respectively. According to Bhikkhu Bodhi, even in jhana state one can contemplate the jhanic factors as evidenced in the suttas. It seems U Kandima's own practice supports this point. Here, developing samadhi like a scales is first watching the breath at the tip of the nostril. After some time dukkha vedana will arise somewhere. But the mind does not follow the vedana, but neither returns to the breath at the nostrils. Instead, leveling out these two vedanas, one at the tip of the nose and dukkha vedana appears down there, until the mind becomes upekkha. The mind staying with vedana becomes dukkha, domanasa, which is one extreme. Wanting to overcome dukkha vedana and send the mind to the nose with tanha becomes abhijja, which is another extreme. Therefore, if the yogi can contemplate these two objects or keep them equally until it becomes upekkha, which is the middle way, or become the path, magan. With this upekkha magan to develop insight, vipassana, you can't contemplate paramatta dharma with kalesa mind, if with kalesa it only becomes concepts. Closing square bracket. Today we'll develop the scales like samadhi or middle way samadhi. Here I didn't translate the Burmese words, moon chain kamathana directly. Before we did the anapanasati in an ordinary way, i.e., observing the breath only for 3 days, first 1 hour sitting and later 2 hours sitting, and how to develop it. There is a way to develop insight, and I'll talk about it today. Here is not to attain the Dharma with this method, i.e., Nibbana. Now we're on the 4th day. Only you have finished the basic Anapana Kamathana, you can practice forward. Therefore, you have to finish the basics. For 3 days we practiced ordinary anapana. Only you know the meaning of dharma practice and can know the nature of vipassana process for forward practice. When the four elements are disturbed or afflicted and encountered dukkha vedana, in walking also it's painful. Could you walk longer? The body becomes stiff and tense when lying down for a longer period. It's not free from suffering also by standing. Whichever postures you're in or keeping it, this kanda will be cruel to you. Because of its cruelty, kanda becomes dukkha and the mind suffers and is tired. Every time with practice you'll encounter it. When walking, can you walk for a long time in a focused manner? Even though it's not good for samadhi because of its movements, but it's good for supporting it. According to the forest monks, walking samadhi is more stable than sitting. Some monks did a lot of walking than sitting, e.g., Ajahn Mun himself. Walking meditation is supporting one's own kamathana to have strength. During walking meditation, no one becomes Arya, a noble being. Because if the yogi enters into one-pointed samadhi, ekagata samadhi, he has to stop from walking. If indriya samvara sila is in equilibrium, restraint of the sensory faculty, the yogi has to stoop from walking. It's easy to say that with the four postures, i.e., sitting, standing, walking and lying down, attaining Dharma. But nobody said, as not attaining the Dharma with the four postures. There are two ways of walking, after attaining jhana samadhi and to support samadhi, as mentioned above. Later, yogis will know all of them. For having a stable samadhi before attaining it, the mind with sati has to stick on the primary object, here anapana, outside the sittings. To support this point, walking meditation is good. As I had explained on the first day, if you attain jhana directly with sitting posture, it is freed from dukkha vedana and no need for walking. This is attaining jhana with sitting posture. Walking meditation is supporting samadhi, but if you're a vipassana yanaka, maybe you can attain it or with the four elements meditation, i.e., not sure. But you can't attain it with taruna vipassana, i.e., weak basic insight stage. Yogis also need to understand these things. I'll explain all of them for why. Before 3 days ago, for the first day, we sat 1 hour each for 5 times. On the second day, 1.5 hours for 5 times, and on the third day 2 hours 4 times. We had practiced in this way. All right, whatever or however, situation you're in, kanda dukkha will come to you. You have to encounter dukkha. Only this exists and accept this one, don't go and do other things. If you do, it becomes useless, with no samadhi, i.e., with hindrances no insight arises. Even though you can contemplate the four great elements if vedana arises and can't do it. Dosa Domanasa arises and destroys the meditation. If you practice this way, it is also possible. First, you have to transcend Dukkha Vedana. No matter what way you practice, you cannot continue with the following Kamathana, i.e., insight, except for the toad, dosa, and the four poisons of the viper. Therefore, the Buddha taught in the suttas, Asavaisopama Sutta, Sulfur Mononitride 35.238 and Vimika Sutta, Minnesota 23, yogis had to abandon the four snake poisons and toad, dosa. In the Vimika Sutta, the student dug the ant hill and firstly he found a bar. After that he found the toad, with the continued digging and he found out the fork, Divedapatha, which can be translated as doubt and forked path. Which one is correct, I don't know, but if we take it as doubt, it is difficult to relate to the following sieve that represents the five obstacles, which also include doubt. Maybe they are different doubts. If we take the symbol of fork as the forked path, also can be taken as doubt and two ways of the path. Ukandima took it as two ways of the path, the way of Samatha Yanaka and the way of Vipassana Yanaka. After abandoning the toad, dosa, there are two ways of Samatha and Vipassana Yanaka paths. It seems to me that Ukandima's interpretation of Samatha and Vipassana Yanakas are problematic with the Vimika Sutta. These two parts are quite different even in the beginning. Samatha Yanaka use a Samatha object to overcome the five hindrances. Vipassana Yanaka with mindfulness to overcome the five hindrances. So they already are separated in the beginning. Even though Yu Xin didn't understand Pariyat, Sutta learning, I taught yogis in accordance with what the Buddha had taught. I have interpreted them in the same way. I have studied Sutta discourses for only 2 years. The practice I taught to others was not deviated from what the Buddha had taught. It was the same with him. Before I had taught Mahapalinka method or Bodhisatta meditation, people thought that it was torturing them. To expose Tanna is only this way, and no other way, i.e., in one sitting. He knew that he was liberated by cutting off the root of Tanna. The Buddha exhorted us as even if we had patience and endurance for Vedana which would take our life. The Vedana now we'll encounter is not taking our life. It seems to me that Samatha, Vipassana differentiation is by the commentary. Maybe not by the Buddha in the suttas. Sila, Samadhi, Panna can't be separated. The ways of developing them can be different. There is only one way, Vipassana, the eightfold path, which Samatha doesn't have it. Only after overcoming Vedana can you practice Samatha, Vipassana practice, i.e., the two ways of insight practice, whichever way you prefer. If not, you're only dealing with Vedana at the basic practice, i.e., develop Samadhi power. Could you go forward by lifting and changing your posture all the time when encountering Vedana? Therefore, in Dharma practice, what are you doing means very simple questions. When the four elements become afflicted or disturbed, the yogi doesn't want to feel it and want to free or correct his lobha with the wrong view of illness, ditti. First practice is making these lobha, dosa and moha cease. Other than that, don't practice anything else, you can't succeed it. Therefore, I must explain on this problem with Tadanga Pahana, Vikhamhana Pahana and Samakeda Pahana, short period of abandonment, suppression for longer, eradication. Now, you can sit for 2 hours and there is no tiredness and strong stress. Some already fall into Bhavanga and free from them, i.e., in jhana state. Even some are not free from them. When they sit for 2 hours they don't have the mind state of trying to struggle with it. They don't have to because the mind becomes refined. Passambayam kayasankaram, the breath become calmed down with dosa fallen away and breathing also refined, not tired anymore. Could I ask the yogis to breathe slowly like now at the beginning when they arrived here? All will get up and run away. We're practicing to be free from the lobha, dosa of not wanting to experience it, even though it'll take long. Now you can sit for 2 hours. Alright, let's move forward step. What is the nature of insight practice? The mind contemplates the mind and form to become true insight, vipassana, should not think about the past and future even for a 10 hours period, only with the present moment. Even for 10 hours, the mind doesn't know about the eye, ears, nose, etc. It's free from the worldly objects of concept, loka panati aramana, only then it discerns loka paramatta mind and form. The samadhi discerns mind and form, not including concepts. During the contemplation it's anicca, dukkha, etc. are concepts and not vipassana. It can be taken as bhavana, mind or mental development. Anicca sanna, dukkha sanna, etc. Perceptions of anicca, dukkha, etc. are not insight, vipassana and not paramatta dharma. There are three knowledges. Paramatta is penetrative knowledge, sanna, The perception of names and concepts are conceptual knowledge, and vijnana, knowing, is not giving names and concepts, and also non-penetrative nor analytical knowledge. Penetrative or analytical knowledge is panna, wisdom. Knowing with giving names is still not arriving vipassana yet. Later Yu Xin continues to explain them. You yourself confuse them or not, I don't know, but I have to explain about them. The main question is, if yogis encounter dukkha vedana, is it possible for their mind to contemplate paramattha dharma with suffering and pain, dissatisfaction and exhaustion? Now, with the four elements being tortured, this question arises. We have to deal with this issue. We're practicing to deal with this problem. On the first day, the four elements of the khanda were afflicted. And what is the habit of a worldling? The mind is unbearable to dukkha vedana and wanting to condition the khanda. Because of this desire, lobha and the following mind, which is kaya sankhara, condition the body, i.e., changing the body. This is the practice of kamasukalikana yoga, indulgence in sensuality, by lifting and correcting the body is happiness. The desire for happiness in sensuality, karma, is defilement, kalesa, kalesa karma, defilement of sensuality. With kalesa, karma and action received khanda. Does it not suffer by receiving khanda? The act of torturing oneself by oneself, atta, is atakalemathana yoga, self-torture. Physical object, vafu rupa, is in pain, and making it a temporary comfort. This is kamasukalikana yoga. We have to abandon these two extremes, and not pursue them. It used to be that whatever kamathana you used, you wanted to correct them. Now, you no longer tune them, but are freed from both extremes. Now, you're stable with the primary object, mula kamathana. Before, with the habit of a worldling, hino gamo pothajaniko, which is low, vulgar, the way of worldlings, now you don't have the habit of a worldling as wanting to lift and correct the body. You can keep your mind on the primary kamathana is the middle way, majjhimapatipada. You can keep the mind at the tip of the nostrils straight away is samadhi. At the touching point or contact, dukkha form, rupa, combined with dukkha mind and sukha mind ceases. When pain arises on the body, then the sukha form is combined with the sukha mind and the dukkha mind stops, when the pain is overcome. Is there anything as I die? You know that only mind and body exist. Knowing as the I-ness not exist is right view, samadhiti, and right thought, Sama Sankappa. Complete with the eight path factors, which is the middle way, Majjhima Patipada. If your sati is gone, it becomes painful again. Yogi wants happiness at the place where the air touches the tip of the nostril. You are clinging to the place. Could you contemplate insight if sati sticks at the tip of the nostril? In Sukha Vedana Lobha exists. Today humans become the slaves of Tanha on Sukha Vedana, that all the pollution of the world and climate disasters arise. In Dukkha Vedana Dosa exists and in Upekkha Vedana Moha exists respectively. We must practice to get rid of these three points. Now, we replace Dukkha Vedana Dosa with Sukha Vedana Lobha. Before there was Dukkha Vedana, when pain arose, and now with Sukha Vedana, we are free from Dukkha Vedana. Isn't it possible to rest here? No, not yet. To contemplate the mind and form, the mind is not purified yet. With Dukkha Vedana increasing, the mind with force sticks again at the tip of the nostril. It is stuck with the lobha mind process. What is competing with jhana? Here Sayadaw's usage of the Pali word jhana is confusing. Actually, it's not a real jhana state yet. Maybe it's on the way to true jhana. Lobha Sukha Vedana is competing with jhana. Piti and Sukha imply the inclusion of Lobha. It doesn't mean you practice insight with this method. This is also one way of practicing insight. However, you're practicing, whatever method you use, whoever is your teacher and wherever you are practicing, this is to be free from abhijja, domanasa and moha. This important point also mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta very clear. It was mentioned as follows. There is the case where a monk remains focused on the body in and of itself, ardent, alert and mindful, subduing greed and distress with reference to the world. He remains focused on feelings, mind, mental qualities, dharma, in and of themselves, ardent, alert and mindful, subduing greed and distress with reference to the world. Here subduing greed and distress include delusion, moha. What Yu Kandima said was true. It seems there are two ways of insight, Samatha Yanaka and Vipassana Yanaka. So yogis have to choose their own ways of practice. These two ways of practice are also mentioned by famous scholars and practicing monks like Ledi Sayadaw, Mogik Sayadaw, Mahasi Sayadaw, etc. Here, Sayadaw Yu Kandima is teaching the Samatha Yanaka way. Both ways of practice we can see in the Sutta teachings. Closing square bracket. Not wanting to feel or experience, i.e., pain, is dosa, wanting to feel or experience happiness is lobha and uncertainty about things is moha. Not letting these three points sticking with the mind and stripping them off is insight practice, or sila samadhi practice. If these three kalesas fall away by however way you do the practice, the outcome is the same. Does the mind not purify if there is no lobha, dosa and moha? If the mind is purified, it becomes citta visuddhi, purification of the mind, and you can contemplate paramatta mind and form. Without the purification of lobha, dosa and moha and contemplating of insight or development of insight knowledges or wrong view fall away or giving the perceptions of the characteristic, lakana, and all these are only in thought. But these can be accepted as weak insight, taruna vipassana. This is right. Dry insight mindfulness, sati, practice purifies the mind or abandonment of the five hindrances. Closing square bracket. What we want is the real paramatta of mind and form, which refer to seeing of mind and form. The real mind and form means the mind does not think about past and future, eye, ear, nose, etc. It doesn't think about this body and other things even a period of time as long as 10 hours. Without any of them and the mind stays at mind-based, bhavanga, and discern mind and form. Lobha, dosa and moha are also not there anymore. The mind goes and combines with concepts, panati, and mixing with lobha, dosa and moha. After it frees from concepts and the mind arrives at a place where it frees from concepts. For arriving there, we're clearing away the problems which happen here. However, you practice and deal with it, the purified mind does not think about the past and future and never goes out. Even for 10 hours long, it never knows about the vibrations and sensations of the body. So where are you keeping the mind? Is there any place for the mind to stay at? Yes, it exists for the mind to stay free. If it stays at the free place, it becomes citta visuddhi, purification of mind. Until you do not get the answer, your practice does not end yet, i.e. on samadhi practice. You have not arrived at insight yet until you're arriving at this stage. You have to hold this answer firmly. What we are practicing until now, when the air touches at the tip of the nostril, the mind moves here and there, that it's not purified yet. We have to continue to take off the dust, still we have to do it and can't talk about paramatta mind and form. The place where the air and the tip of the nose touch is pleasant. The affliction of the four elements is dukkha. The mind combined with dukkha vedana becomes distress, domanasa. When combined with sukha vedana becomes joy, somanasa. Both mind states are lobha and dosa and can't contemplate the paramatta dharma. As a first step from dukkha vedana, it becomes sukha vedana, that is a success. Apekkha vedana means that the mind is inclined neither to dukkha nor to sukha. Rather, it stays in the present moment. This is called the equanimous mind, apekkha mind. If you practice with this way, this is a process leading to the arahata magga and phala, path and fruit of arahantship. You can go straight with this one. The answer is the same. There are many ways, if the practices are right and all have the same result. If you encounter dukkha vedana and domanasa arises, or if your mind sticks at the tip of the nostril and sukha arises. Sticking with lobha is tanha, which hinders path and fruit. It will not become citta visuddhi. In addition to lobha and dosa, there is moha. Today's method is to be free from three of them at the same time. The first method is free from dukkha vedana and at the tip of the nostril, the first jhana of joy, pleasure and one-pointedness of mind, piti, sukha and ekagata, arise, and each jhanic factors, connecting, sustaining, joy and pleasure, are falling away one by one with the practice, i.e. Anapana Sati method. At last, free from lobha, dosa and moha and become sati and ekagata. Practicing dharma is not doing other things. This one is the goal. The mind is free from dukkha and sukha, and the mind is with apekkha and sati. This becomes citta visuddhi. In insight practice, not doing this one and doing other things is not right. I am worried about you will go wrong. Therefore, I'm talking firmly on this point. With the affliction of the four elements, it becomes dukkha vedana, and staying at the tip of the nostril, it becomes sukha vedana. Two extremes appear. Getting rid of these two extremes is apekkha vedana. At the place, if sati stays there at the same time, it can be freed from lobha and dosa. For this, I'll give you the practice. This place is not at the nose or where pains arise, but at the bhavanga, where the mind stays by itself with apekkha. Sayadaw did not mention specifically the place, only at the place. This is the way of practicing together, i.e., samatha and vipassana together, yoganada way. We take the same kamathana of the air and the tip of the nostril as before, with the affliction of the four elements. When the four elements are afflicted, the mind inclines toward the place of its affliction. Then the mind feels dukkha vedana with distress, domanasa. But if the mind sticks at the contact of air and nostril, it is sticking with lobha. If you let go of the mind from the tip of the nostril and it is inclining on dukkha, so it can't be let go. I don't give the kamathana on my own invention. This is called the yoganada method, samadhi and panna yoked together. In some of Mogik Sayadawji's talks, he called it yogananda, yoked two oxen together. This is the practice of samatha and vipassana mixed together at the same time. Before vedana arises, you breathe anapana regularly, or observing at the tip of the head, or rising and falling of abdomen, etc., are also in the same way. Here you only can use form, rupa, kamathana and can't use mind object, nama kamathana. When a time comes, vedana arises and the mind inclines toward it. At that time there were dukkha vedana from the four elements and sukha vedana at the tip of the nostrils. In this way at that time become two vedanas and we establish a pekka vedana by purifying the mind. If the mind sticks at the tip of the nostril, it becomes lobha. So, don't stick it there. If you drop it and domanasa arises. If you let go of domanasa and it moves to somanasa. So we can't let them both go, we have to adjust them both. Can we adjust both sides at the same time through sati? Yes, we can, e.g., a car driver, his eyes are looking in front of him and at the same time the hands are working, we're eating and at the same time talking to each other. The mind is changing so fast that it's possible. With the affliction of four elements, vedana arises, you must keep the mind at the tip of the nostrils. Also, you have to be mindful of the touching place. And then also mindful where dukkha vedana arises at the same time. If at the side of dukkha vedana is more, let the mind inclines towards sukha vedana. It's not keeping them in turn, but adjusting them at the same time, and they become equal. Can you make it very easily? If it's possible, all will become arahants. Entering into jhanic states and developing samadhi practices are difficult. You cannot attain it easily. You have to balance sati at the touching point, at the nostril, and the place where the four elements are afflicted. It's called leveling out the scales bar. One side is sukha vedana, an extreme, and the other side is dukkha vedana, another extreme. So sukha extreme and dukkha extreme arise. To cut off dependent co-arising process, paticca samuppada, is at the presence of moment, titi kana, which is also present liberated time, pakapana vimuti kala. It is free from past and future time extremes. The lifespan of a mind, citta, is termed, in the Abhidharma as a mind moment, sitakana. Each mind moment consists of three sub-moments, arising, upada, presence, titi, and dissolution, banga. Closing square bracket. It is a curious thing to me. In the West, some Buddhists, most of whom are scholars, rejected the authenticity of the Abhidharma teachings. I do not know what the Thai Ajahns, especially Thai forest Ajahns who had realized Dharma view about them. In Burma, I never heard about Burmese Sayadaws, who were great scholars and practicing monks such as Ledi Sayadaw, Wibiu Sayadaw, Mogik Sayadaw, Mahasi Sayadaw, etc. said something about Abhidharma as wrong or unauthentic. Pa Ork Sayadaw's teachings are based on jhana practices and Abhidharma. If Abhidharma teachings are wrong, it cannot be put into practice at all. Closing square bracket. It's not liberated from the other two extremes, i.e., lobha and dosa. About awareness is, if vedana arises, do not relax in order to level the awareness, do not rest, i.e. you must be in a state of alertness. We level the awareness more and less by correcting it. Contemplating on which side has more or which side has less sati is vikara, sustained thought. Keeping sati there at the same time is vitaka, applied thought. Here we can see Sayadaw U. Kandima's wisdom came from realization of Dharma. Even though he was not a scholar monk and didn't know about the suttas well, his interpretation on the practice was amazing. In one of Mogik Sayadaw's talks, it was mentioned vitaka and vikara connected to insight. It's also mentioned in Ajahn Lee Dharmadharo's Keeping the Breath in Mind, on Vitaka and Vikara, which related to Samadhi and Panna. He mentioned Vitaka as concentration and Vikara as discernment. He taught to balance both Samadhi and discernment. Mogik Sayadaw's talk in gist was, Vitaka means thinking or planning. Vikara means the whole round contemplation or reflection on the thinking or planning. The Buddha taught Vitaka and Vikara in the first jhana and also in the path factors, Magunga. Today I'll talk about their application. Sayadaw talked about Vedanas arising from the six senses of the door. You have to think about Vedanas which arise from the six senses of door as what are these. After their arising, contemplate or reflect them as existing or not. This is Vikara. If you apply Vitaka and Vikara in this way, you will see Vedana and its rise and fall. For example, your eyes are seeing something. If you don't know what there is, then no Vitaka and no Vikara. Someone who thinks and contemplates is attaining Magga, path factors. This is Samma Sankappa Maggan, right thought. The identity view, Sakkaya Ditti, of taking oneself as I and mine fall away. Thinking is Vitaka, contemplation is Vikara and knowing it as not existing, i.e., disappearance, is Panna. Therefore, whenever you open your eyes, you see things with reflection and contemplating. The dissolution of things is useless. The uselessness of things is the truth of suffering, Dukkha Sakka. If you're thinking and contemplating, you will know about Dukkha Sakka. Disappearance is dead. Death is in Dukkha. If you're thinking and contemplating in this way not only sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, but also the hell fire will be extinguished. Closing square bracket. When you're doing the leveling out, Tanha comes and pulls you. Now, the mind is pulling together by Tanha and Panna. At first Sati stuck at the tip of the nostril and Tanha came and pulled it down there. So Tanha and Panna came to pull the mind together. Now, you're adjusting Sati between the tip of the nostril and Dukkha Vedana and Sati wants to stick with Sukha, i.e., at the nose. This is greed, lobha, that sticks to the mind. Otherwise, if stuck with Dukkha Vedana, then it's stuck with dosa. Lobha and dosa are unwholesome and have to be abandoned. It doesn't need to be abandoned separately. Don't let go of your awareness. If sati with two states of mind together, lobha and dosa can't close to it. So lobha and dosa are not abandoned separately. With sati pulls the mind firmly. Adjusting equals sati at two places of nostril and vedana with alertness Tanha can't close to it. Also, if ditti not come close to it, the mind is not in distress. When each side is not becoming equal, you should not do the practice with desire, lobha, to get the result quickly. You can't get it and will make mistakes, also not in accordance with the jhanic factors. Wanting comfort and sticking to the sukha side, i.e., nose, becomes lobha, and you can't do insight. If stick to the side of dosa, i.e., pain, become dosa kalesa. Looking at the two extremes with sati and nana, nayan, supporting it and panna checking which side is more and less. Sati can't be let go, that is abandoned delusion, moha. Not stick at the nostril abandon lobha, and not stick with dukkha vedana abandon dosa. So it abandons lobha, dosa and moha at the same time. This is the practice of one-pointedness of mind, ekagata, for insight. Otherwise, if you do insight, only get the thought, perception, of insight. It happens as before, no real insight and does not change the mind. You can't get the real insight easily. The rod of the scales becomes balanced, and it means, sucker extreme is lobber mind, ducker extreme is dosa mind. If the sati in the middle is lost, it becomes moha. If free from all these mind states, the mind is purified. The apeka mind, equanimous, is free from lobha, dosa and moha. Only with this mind can contemplate insight. Free from these three extremes will discern the real, paramatta, mind and form. When the mind is in apeka vedana ekagata sati, it does not run to the past or the future. It does not stick with sukha and dukkha and is also free from the khanda. It's not easy to get it. In sukha and dukkha vedanas form, rupa, exists. If with the form, the mind is not free from the concept, it is not free from lobha and dosa, because it is not purified. So don't come and practice with it. You don't get it. Free from sukha and dukkha, it falls into apeka and free from moha. And then this mind becomes paramatta mind and form. This is the basic resultant mind and form. There are two kinds of mind and form, with cause and with result mind and form. I'll explain him later. This we have seen in the talks of Thein Gu Sayadogyi. So, you must see the resultant mind and form. First after seeing it, then develop to Arya, become a noble person. My duty is to explain whatever it should be. If you don't understand them, you have to listen very often to the talks which are recorded during these 9 days of retreat. To develop the path and fruit, you can't do it blindly. Even if the skin of the body is worn out for 10 years, practicing the path that doesn't get there, still never gets there, i.e., with the wrong practice. Not knowing the right practice, doing it will only make you tired, and you will only get the perfection of merit, kusala paramita. It will not give the result as we expect. If we practice blindly without knowing why we have to practice, it will not bear fruit. You'll realize Dharma by following it, as he taught. If you don't understand the basic points and become confused, you'll not be able to practice later. It is important to fully understand the known, Nata Parinna, and the teachers. I had to clear out the coarser parts for later practice on the refined parts. I am not teaching you with this method to realize Dharma. I am not giving you instruction with this system. Furthermore, I want you to understand the nature of insight and show you the way of entering into jhana. In the future, if you want to continue with this system, you have the main point of it. I.e., how to do it, here is just for a basic. Now, you know the nature of the practice. If you cling to happiness, sukha vedana, it is greed, lobha, and to suffering, dukkha vedana, it is anger, dosa. If you stick with neither sukha nor dukkha objects, it becomes moha. To be freed from moha, we have to practice freeing from sukha and dukkha, which is apeka. You can't make apeka directly. You can't make apeka by itself. Some people were doing this kind of apeka. With ordinary apeka, when vedana arises, one only could sit for 15 minutes or ask to sit for 15 minutes. Regardless of who is practicing as a sukha vipassana, they will directly produce the perception, sanna, of apeka. They can't ask people to sit longer. This referred to a dharmanupassana system in Burma by a lay teacher. Here Yu Kandima's words is short and not clear about the points. So I re-correct it for more clearer. Note on apeka, equanimity, in the Pali texts, we can find on equanimity, apeka a lot, and their meanings have variations according to the subject contexts. If we don't understand them clearly, it becomes confusing and can create problems of misunderstanding. The commentary compiled those upekkha into 10 kinds of upekkha. Still, we can divide them into 5 kinds as 1. Vedanupekkha 2. Viriupekkha 3. Panarupekkha 4. Tatramajatata, neutrality of mind. 5. Samadhi upekkha. In general, we can divide into 2 kinds. 1. Feelings, 2. Mental states or factors, cetasikas. Except Vedana, all the other 9 kinds fall into this kind. We can give the meanings of the 10 kinds of upekkha roughly as follows. 1. Vedana upekkha or Vedanupekkha, neither pleasant nor painful or neutral feeling. 2. Viriya upekkha or Viriupekkha, over effort becomes restless, relax effort, becomes lazy and sloth, torpor can come in. It is equanimous effort or no somanasa and domanasa effort, no joy and dejection. 3. Panarupekkha, 2 kinds, vipassanupekkha, udayabhaya nana, discerning of rise and fall of phenomena. B. Sankharupekkha nana, knowledge of equanimity toward formations, sankhara dharma. 4. Chalingupekkha. This equanimity is the quality of Arahant. Whatever he experiences from the 6 senses of the door, he is always in equanimity. This was mentioned by Thein Gu Sayadaw in his experience of final attainment. This equanimity is included in the Tatramajatata, neutrality of mind. 5. Brahmaviharupekkha, this is the equanimity of the 4 Brahmavihara, divine abidings, free from lobha and dosa. The Buddha's equanimity to his son Rahula and the monk Devadatta are the same. This one is Parami Upekkha, impartiality toward beings. 6. Boijunga Upekkha, equanimity in the factors of enlightenment, mental equipoise. 7. Tetramajata Upekkha, the equanimity which is making other mental factors arising together become harmonious, e.g., the 5 spiritual faculties in harmony. 8. Janupekkha, equanimity in the 3rd jhana. The happiness, sukha, in the 3rd jhana is quite happy, but its happiness is controlled with equanimity. 9. Parasadupekkha, equanimity in the 4th jhana. In No. 3 Panarupekkha has 2 kinds, Vipassanupekkha and Sankharupekkha. So all are in 10 numbers of equanimity. Closing square bracket. In regard to anapana practice, when you're sitting, don't go and tense the body with force, i.e., to resist the pain. If you do this, you can't go forward. Using the strength of sati and viriya to control the mind. For the sense of comfort, don't go and control the body, and never get the result. Whatever method you practice, if you control the mind and body by force, will not attain any path, magga, and can't discern mind and form. At the time of death, also not free from it. Let go of the body, i.e., don't be concerned about it. Breathe regularly, in and out breaths, slow and fast, strong and soft, long and short breaths have to breathe rightly, already mentioned above, to adjust the breathings. Breathing with the air passage rightly by aware the touching point. Not with strong force, by breathing regularly with not strong and soft breaths and Vedana will arise. With fear, don't go and make it for comfort. Only with this Vedana exists can we contemplate sukha, dukkha and upekkha vedanas. So don't go and destroy it. With him, only we can do it. Dukkha Vedana arises, You adjust or level off it with Sukha Vedana. Pay attention to the clear touching point, i.e., nostril or Sukha, and also pay attention to Dukkha Vedana, i.e., where the pain arises. Keep them equally. How to keep it there? If you keep it at only one side, you will lose the other side. How to keep two sides in equality? In the beginning of Vedana arising, it's still light. Nayan, Nana, and Panna have to control and level off the awareness. Whether right or wrong, don't stop panning, correct errors by panning, adding where required and subtracting where more is needed. Even though you control the mind with sati and viriya, tanha will come behind to pull you. So don't lose your side. If you're leveling off this way, lobha and dosa minds cease and fall into bhavanga. After fall into bhavanga, jhana mind arises. During the jhana mind process arises, piti and sukha can arise. If it's too strong, don't let it go and it has a strong happiness. Its happiness is something like smoke from a cloud and a big roll of cloud rising up quickly. If something like this happens, don't let it go away. Not enjoying this object, aram, and only stay with the original kamathana of the touching point at the tip of the nostril and Dukkha Vedana by leveling off them and continue will arrive janupeka, equanimity of absorption. Don't let go of the adjustment to the two objects of the touching point of the nostril and Dukkha Vedana. Janic factors arise by themselves. Do you all understand the way of contemplation? The main point is simple. For your understanding of the practice process, it takes time to explain it. Sayadaw continued to explain it in gist as follows. For the practice, with Sukha Vedana, at the tip of the nostril, do the breathing regularly before the four elements afflict the body. If Vedana, Dukkha at somewhere on the body, arises, the mind will incline toward Dukkha Vedana. The yogi has to adjust the awareness between the tip of the nostril and Dukkha Vedana, and at the same time to know both of them, i.e., Sukha and Dukkha. Not to know them in turn. Not close toward any side and contemplate in a normal way. Don't let the mind go toward the comfortable side, i.e., tip of the nostril, and adjust them equally. If you make the determination to attain it with the practice and tanha will not come. Note, in many Thein Gu Sayadaw's talks he mentioned adjusting of samadhi and panna with the five spiritual powers, but never mentioned how to do it. After the adjustment, discern impermanence. See one of his talks for instruction in the postscript.